You're listening to the Fast Break Podcast with Carly Tebow Dudonis and JJ Duke, an all-access pass to the Fairfield University women's basketball program only on the Stag Sports Network.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast as we've wrapped up the non-conference portion of this regular season. MAC play begins this week. We are going to talk all about it. We're also going to break down Fairfield's last two non-conference games, the Big East swing that we're going to be calling it, home to Villanova, away to St. John's. Then the group's going to go off for the holidays, so they get to get away from campus for a few days.
Get away from me.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, Carly. So then let's talk about it. Are you making anybody mad? Anybody who's going to get coal for Christmas this year?
Yeah, I might have to ask Meg Anderson that, who's sitting here with me. You know, if she plays with her hands up, then she won't get coal, I promise.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll take it.
It is funny because not an ad. It's an advertisement for Chewy that the kids got coal for Christmas and coal was a black lab. So coal is now the running joke in my family of if you get coal, well, you get a dog.
That's not.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, I guess. Anyways, enough about presents or lack thereof. Thanks for tuning in to this latest episode, which of course is presented by Connecticut Basement Systems. Larry Janeski's Connecticut Basement Systems is the all things basement-y company. Basement waterproofing, basement finishing, foundation structural repair, humidity and mold control, nasty crawl spaces too. Call Connecticut Basement Systems today, 866-268-9002 for all things basement-y. We appreciate their support of the Stag Sports Network as they are the presenting sponsor of both of the Fairfield Basketball Podcasts of the 24-25 season. So, Carly, the Big East swing is now behind us here. The Villanova game, what a game it was the last time that you guys were at home. Have to give a shout-out to the town of Fairfield community, not only showing out with over 1,600 in attendance, they got there early. Now, I know you guys are – the coaches are downstairs waiting, players warming up, and all of a sudden I'm looking out 40 minutes before the game, Meg. This is like a bunch of people already here. That, like, almost never happens.
No, yeah, it was definitely – it's amazing just to see people like come out for us and just show us love. Because at the end of the day, that's who we're doing it for our community and for Fairfield. So it's definitely like means a lot to us.
Well, I know, Carly, that was something that you were hoping for from the Richmond game to the Central game to remind everybody the standards of Fairfield women's basketball. They got a treat for that Villanova game. It was a 74-71 victory, kind of a tale of two parts of the game where Villanova, they kind of established themselves a little bit early, utilized their size. Danae Carter, who we highlighted, was a monster down the blocks in the first half. Jasmine Bosco, by the way, I know we don't often talk about the opponents. She came as advertised. That's going to be a player.
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, Villanova is a great team. And as much as it was probably stressful on my end in particular in the first half, I think for a spectator of basketball, it was an amazing game to be at. Two obviously really highly skilled teams. And I think it was a little bit of a tale of two halves for us. I think the first half, we were a little bit maybe put on our heels by their physicality and not necessarily answering the call and to match that physicality. And then I think in the second half when we had opportunities to be one-on-one, whether it was in the post or on drives, I thought we did a much better job of efficiently cashing in those opportunities, and Meg being a huge part of that. So I think while I would love to see us start a little bit stronger in that way, I love our response at halftime.
Well, just again, publicly, it was Kendall Magruder who said on the post-game broadcast that didn't want to be thought of as soft. You guys were not soft over the course of that second half. And Meg, I guess the adjustments that you guys made from that first half to the second half, the coach has obviously given you the instructions, but on the floor specifically, what were you seeing out there that you had to make those changes and then ultimately seeing it work?
I think honestly, like the whole concept of being the tougher team is what helped us in the end. I think just like making sure we're like coming off our like cut strong, not letting them like kind of bully us around in the paint, and defense, like locking down on defense, because that was what was a big part of what hurting us in the first half, and then trying to like kind of hone in on that and like fix it.
Then the other bit that obviously we're going to be getting into, which did make a bit of an impact on the game, is Janelle Brown. goes down with an injury with under 4 minutes to go in the third quarter of that game. And recently, Janelle put out a statement, and also on fairfieldstags.com, if you haven't seen it, she is going to be missing the course of the remainder of the season due to an ACL injury. We'll talk more about the long standing in a moment, but in the short term, when you guys see her go down, I'll get both of the perspectives. Carly, for you first, how quickly do you have to adjust things knowing that you might not have, you know, Janelle available for the rest of that game?
You know, it's interesting because typically Nelly will have kind of one spill a game where she kind of rallies, and she had one in the first half. And then in the second half, you know, immediately I knew this one was a little bit different. Just the way she went down and how she reacted when she did. And while you never, ever want to see that, and she's a warrior, and we never, you know, want to have to play games without Nelly. What I love about this team is they are resilient. We do have depth. We have, you know, multiple ball handlers, and we have a lot of great players. And so not only did they show resilience in that moment, but Nelly also did. She came back to the bench and gave them a ton of energy from, you know, behind the bench on crutches. And I think that helped. And I don't want to speak for our, you know, Meg or our team, but I think that just seeing her give that energy to them made a huge difference for us to be able to pull out that game.
And it's not easy, Meg, because you see a teammate go down, emotions are always running, and it's so much easier for people that are watching the game to be like, oh, okay, they're going to snap back to it and just, you know, carry on as nothing had happened. It's not that case at all, especially knowing how instrumental Nelly can be on both sides of the ball and then her scoring abilities from all three levels. For you guys in those little conversations that you're having, what were some of the key messaging that you guys are trying to express to each other to obviously know that Janelle's hurting, but you guys do need to find a way to carry the job in her absence?
Yeah, we talked a lot about just like playing for each other, especially in that moment. It's hard anytime you see a teammate go down. But like Coach said, I think Nelly did such a great job of getting back up and just being there for us on the bench. Like, I heard her continuously afterwards, and it's easy to not do that. Like, it's so much easier to just think like, oh, I'm like, I got hurt, like there's nothing I could do now. But she found a way to kind of keep motivating us and keep pushing us to want to win that game.
Well, in the fourth quarter, you guys were able to turn the screws pretty nicely and get things in your momentum. With the foul trouble that Villanova had, especially Meg with their post players, Carter goes, I think she picked up her fourth foul pretty early in that quarter. You guys were able to start winning some of the wars on the rebounding side of things. Was that something by design that you were trying to figure out, at least in terms of winning the little battles, but also knowing that, hey, if you can get some players into foul trouble, knowing that Villanova does not have a lot of depth that they use on the floor, how much easier did that make the rest of the game for you, knowing that, hey, okay, we might be able to win a few of these battles?
I think we were just trying to take advantage of the opportunities that we were given in that game, especially like switches off the ball. We're definitely trying to get more like inside outside, because that's like a very like strong part of our game when we do utilize it. So I think definitely trying to like take advantage of like those type of situations like helped us a bit, like,
and
a lot.
Yeah, definitely. And then stepping up, Kendall Magruder. My goodness, when it was late in the game, and sometimes, you know, players that want the ball in their hands at the end of the game, well, Kendall had a couple of opportunities, got feet in the paint, which is something that we've been seeing more from her game this season, and she executed, Carly.
Absolutely, and I think Kendall was a huge part of that, where, it, you know, one way to guard us is to make us play a lot of one-on-one, not come off of three-point shooters on the perimeter, and we've seen that now a couple games in a row. So Kendall did a really nice job when it was hard to maybe drive and kick. She's great at creating for others. She realized nobody was coming and went and cashed in. She's got a great little floater game. One of her big ones is when she stays on her feet and her finishes, she's really efficient. And so she took a lot of that coaching over the last couple weeks and did that. And, you know, like I said, Meg, it was great to see her attack the rim. I think that's the most free throws we've maybe ever shot since I've been the head coach at Fairfield. And so, you know, I like how this team found ways to be effective when we weren't getting maybe our drive and kick threes or our, you know, people collapse in and help and we go inside outside. They let us play inside. And I think in the second half, Kendall and Meg and Amina and those guys, you know, cashed in and made the most of those opportunities.
For Kendall specifically, I know it's been a little bit of a hot, cold type of scoring season for her. She always does the job defensively. And you know, she's had some opportunities to start, come off the bench in a couple, mm-hmm. and we know that how this team operates is that anybody mm-hmm. at any point. But for her and for confidence, how mm-hmm. big was that to say, okay, this was my moment, I have to take it, and she did.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge for Kendall. She's someone that we definitely rely on, like you said, for a lot of different things. She's our best charge taker. She's a great creator. And I actually challenged her when we were, I think it was at Wake Forest, to be more aggressive. We need her to be more aggressive. And then she's not the only one, but I'm really proud of how she's kind of answered that call, whether that means her scoring or, you know, making threes or creating for others. We need her to be aggressive.
Now we move to the following week. Weird, by the way. You guys had a full week off mm-hmm. between games. Obviously, finals is one of those. But St. John's, mm-hmm. we knew how tough they were. Mm-hmm. We spoke a little bit about it in the last episode. Kind of had the same feeling for the first 15 minutes of the game that it did in the Villanova game, where they went on a couple of runs. Fairfield found a way to chip back into it. Then the Johnnies had that one little run at the end of the second quarter that put them ahead, and every time Fairfield had a little bit of a mini run, St. John's would find a way to make a run back. But Meg, you and Katie, big scores on the day, both combined for 47, which is absurd against a very good defensive team. What were you guys seeing in getting your shot selection? Because I know Katie, everything was driving to the paint, just able to take players off the drive, but then you were able to establish yourself in a little bit of the mid-range and knock down a couple of threes.
Yeah, I think a big thing we talked about was just getting open and getting to the right spaces, which was something that we struggled with. But I think just like kind of finding like what works for you in the moment. It might not have been like for me, it wasn't like shooting. Like I didn't get a lot of shots off like three wise. But like getting to the paint, getting to 2 feet, and being able to like finish that way, like obviously that helped Katie a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I'm trying to add more to my game too. So it's something that I'm trying to be like more aggressive. So I think I was trying to show it more there.
And it was really nice to see Katie kind of emulate some of the things we saw from Nelly in the first couple of the games of the season, where Nelly was just trying to take players off the dribble and drive to the hole. We know obviously she's got that in her locker in addition to shooting from any zip code on the floor. But for her, she just kept going and going, getting hotter and taking on, I think it was three different defenders over the course of the game, but she met the challenge of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I alluded to it in the Villanova game as well, but St. John's decided to do the same thing, and they've yep. got the athleticism to do it, where they just were going to guard us straight up one-on-one and not give, you know, kickouts to Meg or kickouts to Amina or Katie or whoever it is. And so, you know, Meg did a great job of alleviating some of that pressure, because we knew they were going to, you know, they've got speedy guards that could disrupt our guards a little bit, and Meg showed no fear in, you know, literally going coast to coast a couple times, and whether it was going off the bounce at something Meg's worked a lot on with Coach Blake this summer, of being able to attack closeouts and handle the ball to the rim. But there's also times, you know, where she did, you know, was able to score through traffic and contact. And Amina had a couple of back to the baskets as well, where if people are going to leave us one on one, I like our chances. We've got good players. And if they decide to come in and help, then we do have shooters. But we've definitely seen a little bit of a downtick in our threes, because I think people are challenging us more to get feet in paint. And so, you know, we've seen us, you know, our ability to do that. And I think for us, you know, most nights 68 is a good enough number to win some games. And I think where we need to challenge ourselves and continue to find our identities on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, credit to St.
John's. And also shout out to Katie, because yeah. she had some ridiculous finishes as well.
Oh, I mean, just attacking at will at times and almost dragging you guys along. Yeah. I mentioned about how there's some mini runs that you guys are trying to mm-hmm. respond to. Then mm-hmm. they go and do their thing. St. John's a good team. They had five players in double digits. One thing that I do want to hit on, and I guess this is kind of more the summarization of the non-conference play as a total, you talk about the identity, how this group is still trying to figure it out. I also heard you talk about consistency as well, still something that you mm-hmm. guys are still working your way through with this group. What are some of the things that you and the rest of the coaching staff have identified in trying to really tighten up consistently?
You know, I think defensively we are still kind of trying to find our discipline and our you mentioned the word consistency, but our consistency as far as getting five on the court that can play, get the job done over and over again. And sometimes it's the little things of not fouling. Sometimes it's the little things of keeping people out of the paint, whether it's not getting your face cut, you know, making it tough to get it in the post, doing a great job of having each other's back on backside help. And whether we're, you know, post doubling, it's not necessarily the same place every single game. But I think there's kind of attention to detail that we're still working towards. And that's a discipline and a consistency that we need, especially when you're playing great teams that we've played. And so you can sometimes get away with that in certain games and certain opponents. But you don't get to do that against great teams. And, you know, we try not to do it regardless of who the opponent is. But that was the whole point of our non-conference, was to be challenged and understand, you know, what we've got and where we need to go, because, you know, now the real work begins as we start the MAC play. And we've learned a lot about ourselves, and everybody's had to step up in different ways. And I'm sure Meg would say she's been challenged in different ways this year as a sophomore. And so defensively, I think that's where we need to – I think we put a lot of our stock in our offense. And when you want to win a championship, that's not the only place that you have to and need to win games. And so defensively, I think we're still trying to kind of find our stride there.
Yeah. Meg, for you now, second time through going a non-conference portion of the schedule, learning about yourselves, learning to evolve. Where Carly mentioned one aspect of your game that you're trying to evolve into, but where are some of the other things that you've kind of learned about yourself now, second time through?
Definitely say defense, just kind of working a lot on that and being able to stay, like, I don't know the right word for it, just like to be like aware and like active at all
activated
times. Yeah, activated, that's it. Just being activated, keep my feet moving, get my hands up on defense, just like those little things, and just like being able to push when I'm, you know, if I'm missing shots, like not letting that affect me too much. And yeah,
absolutely. You did speak about how hard of a schedule that we put together, and credit, of course, Coach Blake and the rest of your crew by figuring out ways to showcase the best of your abilities by playing the top level competition. I mean, 6-3 non-conference. We could talk all about how, you know, we've gotten wins over big, you know, power four plus conferences, SEC, ACC, Big East. But the one that I love was the fact that the teams that you guys lost to, which would be Richmond, Oklahoma State, as well as most recently in St. John's, they're combined 29-4. Two of the losses were by one possession. Mm-hmm. One was one of them beating each other, which is just irony.
Yeah, and then Richmond.
Yeah, exactly. And then Richmond losing to Texas, who are now number 6 in the poll. So, I mean, you guys basically got everything, at least from my perspective. I could be wrong. You guys pretty much got everything that you wanted from this non-league action.
I'm still mad about the Oklahoma State game.
Hey, if I was down in Stillwater, I'd try my best to change things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think we learned a lot. We got to see a lot of different styles of play, which I think was also part of the process of it all. We got to see a team like Richmond who plays like us, who's bigger than us, who's maybe a couple years ahead as far as their, you know, that consistency that we just talked about defensively. And I think that they are, they we talk about it, like they're the standard of how you do your job over and over and over again on the defensive end. And so we saw that. We saw size in Oklahoma State, and we saw athleticism in St. John's, and we saw another more motion against Vail. You know, we saw all these different types of you know, teams and styles that are all really, you know, you had to show up every minute of those games. And, you know, now, like I said, this is, you do it to be ready to go as the MAC season begins. And so I think even as coaches, we've looked at things, you know, does this work? Do we need to change this? Do we need to work on this, you know, and figure out kind of where do we score well? You know, Eric Johnson on my staff's done a great job of kind of charting our motion scores and our transition scores and figuring out where are we efficient and where can we be better. And so we'd be remiss if we weren't doing that for, you know, the bigger purpose of being ready for the MAC.
No, definitely. I'm curious, actually, as you guys are building your files for each of the other conference schools, was there some similarities in the styles from some of the other teams that you guys played that you're thinking, okay, this is perfect because they play a style that we'll see here?
A little bit. Some of it we also need people to play us.
Yeah.
As much as I would love to say yes, it's not as easy of a probably a apples to apples or a comparison. But certainly, you know, we're gonna see teams in the MAC that have size. We're gonna see teams in the MAC that are guard heavy, and you're gonna see all of it. And so that's one of the things I love about the MAC, is that there are a lot of different styles of play from team to team. So you're not gonna see, you know, sometimes we used to joke at different leagues, there are some power four leagues that is very athletic, and then there's some that are very offensive focused. And I don't think that's the case in our league, where we have, you know, one night you're gonna be against a Niagara that presses all over the place, and then you're gonna be against, you know, a Motion Marist, and you're gonna see, you know, everything in between.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna get to MAC play in just a little bit, because if you guys are listening to this maybe perhaps on Thursday, you might actually be watching some league games that are going on. And if you're listening to this right before Fairfield takes on the Mount, well, we'll hit update on everybody else in the league, and it'll be a little bit delayed. But one thing that I wanted to talk about that we unfortunately didn't get to hit in our previous episodes is a couple of weeks ago, Carly, you announced your 2025 recruiting class mm-hmm. that's coming in, a three-person strong group. Obviously, you can see a lot of their stuff on social mm-hmm. medias right now, including one player who we'll get to second on the list. But first, let's talk about Christina Pham, a player out of Nobles, another very quality mm-hmm. NEPSAC school, over 1,000 career points. And what were we trying to look for in? I think she's a bit of a combo guard, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. So I'll go back to the very first time I ever saw Pham play. It was in an open gym at Nobles, and you usually go to those in September. And like, they probably played pickup for, I don't know, an hour and a half. And she was, like, 10 of 11 from three, maybe, in that time. And I was like, yeah, she belongs at Shooters U. And so I actually – she's, I think, maybe one of the only, student-athletes I've ever, offered after an open gym. I usually watch multiple times. But you could tell immediately her level of competitiveness, her, skill level, it all fit on what we were trying to build. And this was, I think our first fall maybe I had the job. But she fits. Obviously, we're going to lose some quality guards to graduation this year, and we knew we needed to reload there. And so her ability to play both on and off the ball fit in our kind of versatile, where she could get the outlet. Yeah. Katie can get the outlet, vice versa. And she can create for teammates as well. She's going to do a great job of dropping dimes to her teammates. And because she garners so much attention, she's also got great vision.
Yeah, Meg, obviously, this is something that we're going to be talking about, the young players coming in. But I'm curious for your perspective when – you're seeing the players that Fairfield are going after recruiting, and obviously you have opportunities to meet with some of those players in their process. What are you looking for when you see these players? Obviously, the qualities are there. Coach, you've spoken enough over the years about the type of character that you're looking, the type of player that you want to bring in. But when you're starting to envision, okay, Christina Pham wearing a Fairfield jersey, what are you starting to look for in watching them play?
Yeah. I think just the type of connections that they build, we're really big on our culture here.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're being recruited here. They're going to be great players, and I'm great kids, honestly, just from the culture that we've had the 2 years that I've been here. But I think that's definitely just seeing how they interact with their teammates and their coaches, too, if they're coachable, if they're someone you want to play with.
It's always so fascinating watching people going through this process because it's kind of a judging type thing. Situation, but it's both sides. It's not like, say, if I was a tour guide for a university, you're trying to sell a product and the person is judging if this is right for me. Well, it's now both ends where a player's judging if this is where you want to be. And for the coach, well, do I want this kid to come here? But yeah, that's something that's always interesting and fascinating for me. Also, in doing research about her, for you at home, go check out, if you Google Christina Pham basketball, there's a great story that came out on NBC News Boston. It was last April, I think it was, where it kind of breaks down her story a little bit. We're raised by a single parent, daughter of Vietnamese refugees. Her uncle is her coach, and just how tight that group is. And mm-hmm. Carly, I guess for culture, this is already a very tight group. So someone that has great family values mm-hmm. coming here is really kind of a no-brainer.
Absolutely. And that's something that I think I don't want to speak for Christina, but one of the things that I know that we built over the last couple of years of getting to know her is how much she knew we believed in her and how much we would be a family away from home. And I know Boston, Dorchester's not that far, but she really was drawn to our family atmosphere. And I know how important that is to her, and knows that she would have a coaching staff and teammates that would always have her back.
Definitely. Kiara Gregory, someone that's really been burning up the social media feed over the last couple of weeks. Thanks, Coach E, literally posting everything. But another Canadian player mm-hmm. coming in. So Cyan's not going to be the lone representative from our friends up north. Dynamic mm-hmm. player. I mean, great vision. She played in the Dykeman League over mm-hmm. the summer, mm-hmm. which is like a baller's league to begin with. What was the process in bringing her in?
So we've also watched KG for a couple of years now, and I'm really proud of the growth that she's in, the leaps and bounds she's made in her game over the last couple of years, because she was still kind of figuring out herself as a player, her consistency, her willingness to play every possession on both sides of the ball. And so if you look 2 years, I guess 2 summers ago was the first time I saw her, to this past summer, She grew exponentially, and that's something that I love to see, because not only does it show, you know, what she's going to bring to us as a program, but also just her work ethic and her willingness and desire to be the best player that she could be. And I'm really excited, because if you look at those two, you know, KG is probably a little bit more, I won't say she's a pass first point guard, but she's definitely someone that is trying to facilitate for her teammates and get teammates great shots. And it's funny, because you kind of look like the 1-2 punch that you've had with Nelly and Katie, yep. where Nelly is a, you know, someone that gets feet in paint and creates great for her teammates. And then also, you know, by the way, goes and scores. And Fam is a little bit more of that, like, you know, Lammy, like you said, Lammy can shoot from any zip code, and Fam has a little bit of that. So the cool thing about those two guys is I think they're looking forward to playing together. A lot of times you'll, in the recruiting process, be like, oh, she's my position. And we don't really care about that.
Yeah.
We want the best players on the court. And Meg knows that. We'll put whatever the best five are. You know, Meg could be the 2 or she could be the 5. And it doesn't really matter in our system. It's not like, oh, well, I can't play that because I'm the 5. And so, you know, those two, I think, will be a really great 1-2 punch for a lot of years. It will be worth a lot of, you know, not only buckets, but assists to their teammates as well.
Talking about one more player who's a little bit of a walking bucket in her own right, someone that comes from an ocean away, Milou Van Vliet out of the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. I mean, this program has had a nice history of bringing in players from overseas, and this is someone that has had success at all the age group levels for the Netherlands. In fact, played in multiple FIBA women's Eurobasket tournaments at the U18, U20 level, winners at the U20 level, so they get promoted. Love that system, by the way. But yeah, how did this one come about where you're bringing in an active Dutch national teamer?
Shout out to Coach Blake. He's kind of the international recruiting coordinator, if you will. But he spends a lot of time, and he would probably tell you, admittedly so, that he's a little bit of a nerd when it comes to watching, you know, YouTube FIBA games all throughout the summer. And so that's the nice thing about internationals. Yes, you do need to go over there and meet people and see people in person, but you can really evaluate talent and build a database just on YouTube, because every FIBA event is streamed for free. And so, you know, he does a ton of work and sifts through a lot of film and stats and phone calls and things before he kind of presents our staff with a list of who to hone in on and who to watch. And so once we got to that point, we started watching film of her team, and all of our staff, we do our due diligence. We all watch different games. And then it kind of progressed to phone calls and Zooms and all that. And then at some point this past fall, Blake and I went out and actually did a home visit to meet with her in person, as well as her coming to campus.
Yep.
So it's a extensive process, always is in the recruiting process, unless your name is Meg, because it was like a 6-minute process. Selfishly, I wish all processes were like Meg's. But
so Meg, can you like clone 6 of yourself? That'd be awesome. Thank you.
But I do enjoy getting the chance to obviously go see Milou in her own home, because she's going to be thousands of miles away. So
yeah.
I love knowing kind of what her family is like, what her home is like, so that we can create a little bit of home for her here as well.
And I think also it's nice too, I think, shout out to our field hockey team that often has players coming from that part of the world. So just having a small slice of home is, I mean, that I can't speak to, but it has to be such a challenge knowing that you're coming to another part of the world where maybe that language might not be your first language, your given born language, but credit to her for wanting to come out here as well and giving this an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's someone that is really, you know, aspirational about her game and wants to play at the highest level. And she knows, obviously, the way that we play is a great fit for her. I played with several international players when I you know, was in college, and coached different ones throughout my different stops along the way. And I think the nice thing about this place is you can recruit internationally. To your point, some other sports have internationals, but I think your proximity to New York City, I know that I feel confident bringing an international to our program, because there's a lot of teammates that will look out. And my guess is, you know, Milou will be at the houses of Megan or Katie or somebody at some point. But you got to have, again, I can say with confidence to her parents sitting in her living room that she's going to have teammates and coaches that are going to be her family away from home.
Most definitely. And Meg, when you saw the completion of this class come about, you know, what excites you the most about these three? We obviously talk about the strengths of Christina, KG, and Milou, but what are you looking forward to having when those three come here?
I think, like, they're all different players in like their own ways, I think, which is great for us. We're always trying to add to like our system, and I think I'm just excited. I love the whole recruitment process and seeing who we're gonna bring in. I mean, it turned out great for us this year, but they're great kids, like when we got to meet them, so I'm just excited to see what they can bring for us.
Sidebar, any international, like, you know, places that you want to go, maybe have basketball take you down the road at some point? Because, you know, when we have one player coming from overseas, I guess technically 2 plus Psy, but is there any place that you hope basketball takes you at some point?
I mean, anywhere, honestly. I feel like that'd be just a great experience.
Most definitely. All right, so this kind of brings to the back half of our show here, Carly, and Mac play begins. And how is it that the scriptwriters have us as off on the first day of league play? I know there's 13 teams, but you want your defending league champion. Okay, that's for another time. But, yeah, so bye round for you guys. Y'all are basketball junkies anyway, so I'm kind of curious, to outside of watching them out, which, of course, is imperative for Fairfield, is there any games that you guys are going to be maybe looking? And I'll read them off just to remind everyone. So St. Peter's is at Manhattan. Ryder is at Quinnipiac. Those are nice 11 a.m. games, by the way. Sacred Heart against Iona, Niagara, Siena, Canisius, Merrimack, and then Marist against the Mount. That's all on Thursday.
Well, I think we'll be in practice during the 11 a.m. games, but I will be glued to the Mount game, knowing obviously we got to turn around and be ready for anything new that they've added at that point. It's while you don't necessarily want the first bye, it is nice that you get a chance to have maybe an extra day or two to prepare for them in the next game. So I'll be glued to that one. I can't speak for Meg, though.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know Niagara was playing Siena so early. So.
Yeah, that's at Siena.
Yeah, so I think that would be a good game. And honestly, any like the new teams like Sacred Heart and Merrimack, just getting to see how they play against teams in our conference.
Merrimack is a really interesting one for me because I saw a little bit of them earlier on the season. First off, they have a player that literally played her high school ball one block over in Madison Roman. But yeah, they're scrappy. They're a team that can get after you a little bit. So that great add to the lead, Sacred Heart, of course, as well. But yeah, so the Mount, first game in league play on Saturday, December the 21st, 2 p.m., fairfieldstags.com. Get your tickets. Want to see, again, the community show out before the holiday season. The Mount opened up league play, as you said, against Marist on Thursday. Just got by Mercyhurst on Monday in a wild overtime game where Mercyhurst thought that they won, but there was a foul and a three-point shot. Anna LeMaster misses her first, makes the second two. They go to overtime. They win. Lots of new faces in that Mount team. Joe Rofflow still there, but it's kind of a different looking group than what we've been accustomed to their first 2 years in the league.
Yeah, I mean, Coach White's done a great job of recruiting there. He's brought in some really good pieces, and they definitely will continue to be competitive in the MAC. They play in a way that they kind of keep you on your toes. They're going to mix up some different defenses. He's got some great different kind of offensive schemes to you know, and wrinkles to keep you guessing. So we'll have our work cut out for us for sure.
Meg, in your experiences playing against them last year, obviously that wild game down in Emmitsburg. Thanks, Amina, for knocking down that shower at the buzzer. Appreciate that. But what do you remember?
I was having flashbacks of the foul on a three, too, at the end of the Mercyhurst game from the first year.
Yeah.
Forgot about that, didn't you?
That's a great Well, I remember the other thing that happened right before that, which we're not going to talk about that. for those that don't remember, just go Google Fairfield Mount. Backcourt violation, it all comes together. But what do you remember from those two games playing them last year?
Definitely like what Coach said about them throwing a bunch of different things at us and keeping us on our toes. Definitely think it's gonna be a good game. I'm excited, especially just again to MAC play.
So. Yeah, I was about to say, it's got to be the worst feeling in the world again, knowing that you're not playing that first day because you just want to get going.
I know.
I hope to see you guys out here again. That is Saturday, December the 21st at 2 p.m. FairfieldStags.com. That's where you go. Then a long old break. Holidays, Fairfield not back in action until after the new year, January the 2nd at Ryder. So I'm going to be kind of curious, what are you guys going to be doing over the holidays when you get away from the court for a little bit?
Well, I think this is the longest break I've been able to give a team before. They get, you know, 5 whole days at home. So I hope that they get rest. They've just obviously been kind of going through finals this past week, so they definitely have earned a little bit of a break and some time with family and friends. I will be at home, my nephew / the rest of my family, but my 2-year-old nephew will be at the house for a couple of days, so I'll get some time shooting on the little tyke soup with my nephew. He makes like 400 shots a day, so you know, we'll be ready.
All right, next generation. Meg, what about you?
Definitely just getting to spend time with my family and my friends, so I don't see them too often from home. But I mean, my family comes to all the games. There's someone there all the time.
And side note, her sister goes to school.
My sister goes to school here too, so always see her. But I just love spending time with them.
That's awesome.
They hear me say that, they're gonna laugh at me. But
it's family, man. Sometimes if we bicker, but at the end of the day, we all love each other. I did not know that your sister goes here, by the way.
Yeah, I'm a twin.
Okay, and there that is.
Yep.
You did bring up one thing that we're going to have to now talk about. It is your foodie abilities.
No.
Yeah. See, this is what happens. You don't give stuff to me to talk about right before I've got a microphone in my face. No, but this is, so we're not going to talk the abilities. We're going to talk about.
Because they're not there.
Those are her words. She's getting there. What are, like, okay, so obviously for those, and since we're in the holiday spirit, if you had an opportunity to be like, oh, I want to make that as like a festive dessert, or maybe perhaps challenge yourself down the road, I'm not saying right now, just like where the creative mind brings you. My mom is a huge like holiday baking show lover, so like I hear about it all the time. So what are some things, if you ever had a chance, those 5 days off?
I don't think my family
would give
me the chance.
What's going to be on the at Chefing It Up with Megan on Instagram?
I don't know. Never thought about it because my family would probably never let me in the kitchen for that.
Let's say they're out of the house for 4 hours.
Yeah, what would I do?
Come on.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Can you make cookies?
I don't make desserts.
Mm. Okay.
I'm not good at that.
So maybe if you had a choice to say for like one dish for holiday dinner, what would that be?
That's a good question.
Should we table this?
Well, there was talks of grilled cheese as we started this.
I burned those.
Oh, so maybe not.
That's not. Yeah, it's the stove is a dangerous place for me to be. I can make pasta. Okay. So like, pasta, but not like your basic, just like sauce pasta. Okay. Or like, I'm basic. I do butter pasta, but just something with like a little bit of flavor. You know,
okay. Isn't fettuccine alfredo like the New Year thing of like London or something? Or maybe it's England. I can be.
Oh, spag bowl, spaghetti bolognese. That's a big British thing. Okay. So we're looking at a pasta dish. Maybe some protein in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Love that. There you go.
Yeah, you'll see some pasta on her chefing it up with
Meg. Chefing it up with
Looks
Meg.
A little dry. It's there.
That's awesome. Meg, thanks for coming and chatting with us for a little bit. All the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
And well, Carly, as always, pleasure. And we'll be seeing you guys on Saturday. Cannot wait.
See you Saturday at 2 p.m., Stag fans.
And thanks again for listening to this episode of the Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast, of course, presented by Connecticut Basement Systems. For all things Fairfield women's basketball, make sure to check us out on all our various social media platforms, including at Fairfield WBB on Instagram. We'll see you on Saturday, but until then, go Stags.
The Fast Break podcast is a presentation of Fairfield University Athletics. For future podcasts, videos, news, stats, and coverage of Fairfield Stags women's basketball, log on to fairfieldstags.com.